You've been cut off or refused welfare. Used car salesmen and golf pros through Ontario have decided your disability is no longer disabling. Perhaps you're being forced to work 140 hours a month to get your $500 welfare.
Your meters were moving.
Yeah,
I was watching the meters. I usually keep to about
for not having it fixed address. There's no interest at all in human
You're
rights.
You're facing a
government tribunal hearing without the owner representation. Wants you out so it can take advantage of anti-tenant legislation.
You're
treated unjustly due to your economic position or skin color. And you're sick and tired of the corporate agenda. You feel it's time to stand up and fight back. So what are you going to do? So who are you going to call? Well, if you're wise, you'll call OCAP, the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. If you want our help, just call. If you want to join, give us a call to set up an introductory meeting, 925-6939 in the east, 530-1550 in the west.
And this is OCAP Radio. This is not Control Room Banter. This is the actual program. Welcome, folks, to OCAP Radio on Friday evening. And we're going to be talking tonight. We were hoping to be joined by Gaetan Haru of OCAP, OCAP Defendant, the OCAP 3 fame. However, Gaetan has not been able to make it in tonight, so we're going to be doing it without him anyways. The main focus of tonight's show is still going to be Gaetan's area of specialties, which is the east end of downtown Toronto and the many, many things that are going on there, the heart and soul of where OCAP has operated since its beginnings. But before we talk about the many attacks that are going on in that neighborhood, and some of the things that are coming down the pipes for people who live in that neighborhood, we should touch on a few victories that are very noteworthy and that we need to bring your attention to. First of all, something that is very noteworthy for those who have been following the plight of John Clark Gaetan and Stephen Pilipa, the people who are accused of planning the June 15th demonstration or the riot that supposedly ensued after that demonstration. And in Montreal, there was similar three folks who were charged with planning a riot. They were Jaggi Singh, Christina Zaitis, and Jonathan Aspero-Massey. And today, or perhaps it was yesterday, as a matter of fact, the jury came back on that trial. Jaggi had defended himself. They had done an incredibly political defense. They had presented a defense that basically drew attention to the police repression and infiltration of community political organizing and basically put the police on trial and reverse the situation. From what I hear, it was actually quite a sight to see in the courtroom. And today the jury came back with a not guilty verdict and they are walking free.
Woo!
Yeah. Unfortunately for Jaggi, he is walking free into four more trials. But hopefully he'll just keep on walking and walking and walking. And we're going to be keeping our tabs on him as he moves through the court systems in Montreal and Quebec City. Another jury trial coming up in a couple of months on charges relating to Quebec City demonstrations in April of 2001. But just a huge victory, apparently, in the courthouse after the verdict was given. Some of the jury members told the three former defendants, that they wished them the best of luck. Absolutely incredible. And more incredible news, for many, many years, going back almost to the start of OCAP immigration work, has been a case, Dolores Murray, who came from Jamaica, has raised her children here in Canada, and fought tooth and nail. For those unfamiliar with the process of going through the process of filing for a humanitarian and compassionate claim, while you're going through that process, you're not only not allowed to work, but not allowed to you are permitted to go on social assistance, but it severely, severely prejudices your claim, and it's very difficult to survive. OCAP has done numerous fundraisers in the past to help Dolores and her family continue fighting. They have continued fighting, incredibly strong fight, incredibly inspirational, and this week, word came down from above, from the offices of Immigration Canada, that Dolores was granted status, and she is now a resident of Canada and welcome to stay here. And that's an incredible victory. It looked for a long time like it wasn't going to happen, but it's happened. And Dolores is thrilled, and we are thrilled for her and for her family. Also, one other not a victory. In fact, it was. It sort of seems almost like snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. But there was a young offender who was convicted in the aftermath of June 15th of breaking Charles Stern's arm, or at least severely injuring it. The conviction was just, the whole trial was just an extremely, extremely flawed process. Absolutely disgusting, disgusting display of collaboration between the prosecution, the police, and the judge in the case, just sort of rammed the conviction through. In any case, the young offender went up for sentencing this week, and despite the Crown Attorney's asking for a very, very heavy, heavy, heavy sentence, all that was given was a conditional discharge, something like 18 months probation, and, that's right, anger management classes, which is just absolutely a joke. Basically, what that means is that the young offender is now going to have to attend monthly classes in order to get over her anger at the police. It sounds like a bad joke, but yes, it is happening. And no, it's not taken from a Hollywood script, although there's a movie by the same name. But yes, she's going to have to go through therapy because apparently she got very agitated on that day, June 15th, 2000. And anyways, a bit of a victory. A bit of a victory within a defeat, if you will. And I think I also just want to bring people's attention before we move on to a discussion of what's going on around the East End of Toronto to something going on next Monday. Basically, we've been talking about this a little bit, and I'm sure people have heard about it from other sources, but Police Chief Fantino, Julian Fantino, has been calling for extraordinarily repressive measures to be brought down by City Council with regards to demonstrations. He wants all demonstrations to require a permit system. Right now you're supposed to get a permit for a march, but he wants permits to be required for all demonstrations, which would basically eliminate the possibilities for spontaneous demonstrations, and it would give police enormous powers to arrest people who are attending any demonstration whatsoever that wasn't permitted. In addition to that, and this is where he truly delves past the realm of ridiculousness and into the insane, is that Fantino wishes that every protest organizing group would be required to post a bond or actually get insurance on the demonstration, and that groups who had a record of having violence occur at their demonstrations in the past would absolutely be banned from having any demonstrations at all, and all demonstrations would be required to post a bond at an amount set by the police themselves.
Bullshit.
So it's basically creating a situation where groups wishing to protest against various policies would have to go to those policymakers and beg for permission to protest those policies, and have those policymakers then decide, well, this policy has probably made people very, very angry, and therefore we're going to set the bond very, very high, and effectively eliminating the possibilities for different groups to have protests, because there'd be no way that various groups could pay high bonds or to be able to shoulder that risk and that burden. So obviously this is the very antithesis of democracy. This is absolutely ridiculous measures, reminiscent to me of my time reading 1984. And shockingly, this is actually going to be discussed at City Council. It's coming to Council. It's already gone through the Police Services Board and is going to the City Council's Planning and Transportation Committee this Monday, April 28th. And we are, of course, encouraging people to go down and weigh in on this issue. The meeting begins at 9:30 a.m. Unfortunately, the way that City Council organizes itself, it's very difficult to predict unless you're the first item on the agenda, which this is not. I believe it's item number 14 or something. It's very difficult to predict when during the day that's going to come up. So what I'm recommending is I'm going to give you the city clerk's number. If you give the city clerk a call on Monday, they'll be able to tell you, or at least give you a better idea of when this item's going to be coming up in front of that committee. So get your pens and paper ready. I'm going to give you that number. But I just want to emphasize that people actually, not at council meetings, but during the committee meetings, people can actually speak out. People can come on to the meetings and and address the committee. You don't have to pre-register for this. You can just show up and sign your name up. If you want to pre-register, speak to the city clerk. I'm going to give you the number. But if you want to just show up, you're more than welcome to sign up your name and make your voice heard. So the city clerk's number is 416-392-7039. It's Monday, this coming Monday, beginning at 9:30 a.m. And encourage everyone to go out and tell Fantino to shove it.
Yeah, and speaking in 1984, in 1984 they have those slogans, which we're seeing right now. War is peace. Very common slogan right now. Freedom is slavery. You know, we got workfare and privatized prisons and so forth where, you know, slave labor is used. And of course, ignorance is strength. if they needed a poster boy for that, Fantino would pretty much do.
definitely. Sometimes it's very difficult to tell the difference between the film version of 1984 and CNN's Newsnight with Aaron Brown. I think there's very little difference, as a matter of fact. So we're going to move on now. It's unfortunate that Gaetan couldn't be with us tonight because, of course, he is OCAP's sort of a longstanding worker in the East End of downtown Toronto and someone who's very, very well aware of what's going on in that neighborhood. For those who aren't incredibly clear about what we're talking about, basically what we're talking about is the neighborhood where OCAP began its work about 12 years ago. What basically happened was OCAP set up an office at Sherbourne and Dundas and rooted itself in that neighborhood for 10 years. And for more than those 10 years, that neighborhood has been under attack, and it's one of the poorest neighborhoods in all of Ontario. It's a neighborhood that has a huge number of people who live in poverty, a huge number of people who live on the streets. And naturally, because of that, it has a high proportion of the number of services geared towards those people. So basically what we're seeing now is a systematic attack on those type of services. We're seeing things coming down the pipes like drop-in services getting closed down. We're seeing attacks on people who are staying in shelters. And basically, what we're also seeing is an actual fight back beginning in that neighborhood. And I think we have someone on the phones, Mr. Don Weitz. Don, are you with us?
I am, Mike. Okay, thank you. Hello, can you hear me?
I can, Don.
All right. I hope I'm not coming over too loud. But listen, this is just a brief announcement about an anti-psychiatry play in progress tomorrow night called A Common Cause. And it's free. And there's also folk singing, so it's very nice and political and a lot of solidarity vibes. So it's put on by the Friendly Spike Theater Band, and I can give the address and phone number.
Please do.
Okay. So the address, that's at 8 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday, April 26th, at 2466, 2466 Dundas Street West, just about a block and a half north of the Dundas West station, the subway station. And the phone number is 416-516-4740. 516-4740. Okay, so it's free, and, well, it's mainly free or whatever you can pay, but, you know, it's very flexible. Right. So I hope some people will come out and should be a fun time.
Excellent.
Thanks, Mike.
No problem, Don.
Okay.
Always happy to have Don on the show, plugging away with his incredible anti-psychiatry work. And, of course, you can catch Don monthly on this show with Shrink Wrap. But to get back into the East End of downtown, the context of what we're talking about tonight, I should frame it right from the beginning with the fact that there is a real mood developing to actually begin to fight back against a lot of the stuff that's coming down these pipelines. And to that end, various groups, including OCAP, including the Toronto Disaster Relief Committee, as well as QP, the workers who are representing the workers of Central Neighborhood House, are beginning to plan a resistance and a fight back against these types of things that are going down. And that meeting is taking place tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you a lot more about what's up in store for that meeting. But the meeting is taking place tomorrow at noon at the main house, Central Neighborhood House, 349 Ontario Street. It begins at noon. We're going to hopefully, if weather permitting, be outside to begin with, having a little barbecue, and we'll move into the main house around 1 o'clock to have some speakers. What are we going to be speaking about? Well, first of all, I want to let you guys know we have an update. We've been talking on this show quite a bit about what's coming down at 60 Richmond, the drop-in facility that's run by Central Neighborhood House. Basically, the city has been flip-flopping. What it basically seems like, I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but it basically seems like there is a systematic plan to eliminate the drop-in program, to eliminate the shelter beds that are run by Central Neighborhood House, and essentially to force Central Neighborhood House right out of the downtown of Toronto. And the way that it's going about, they're going about this is to, I mean, already the drop-in facility run by Central Neighborhood House has been forced from Ontario Street to Parliament and now over to Richmond Street, where it's already on the edge of the neighborhood that it's servicing, supposedly servicing. I've been spending some time at the drop-in, and I can tell you that it's full to capacity almost every day, despite being slightly out of the way. Basically, what the city is trying to do is to kill the effectiveness of the drop-in before eliminating it altogether. And the way that they're going about doing that is by shortening the operating day, by basically eliminating the breakfast program, and by eliminating an hour off the top, off the end of the day. Now, basically what that means is that what has been a 24-hour functioning facility, a shelter at night, drop-in all day, will effectively turn into a situation where people aren't able to get in as easily, because what we're going to see is the shelter residents staying in for breakfast. The breakfast program will be eliminated for anyone who's not staying in the shelter, and people at the end of the day are going to have to leave and be forced to go elsewhere. So the effectiveness of that drop-in facility is going to be extremely, extremely restricted, and effectively what they're moving towards is a situation where they can eliminate the drop-in program altogether in conjunction with the elimination of the shelter beds, which Central Neighborhood House operates at the Metropolitan United Church, which their lease is coming up and ending in a year. And basically what we think is going on is that City Council is looking to push Central Neighborhood House right out of the downtown at that time. So luckily, the good news is, the bright spot in all of this is that the frontline workers, the frontline staff who deal with this shit on an everyday basis, who deal with the people who use this facility, who are already in a situation of turning people away, and who know how devastating it would be to have that breakfast program eliminated, these people have begun to fight back and draw a line in the sand and say no more. We will not be forced any further out of the neighborhood, and we will not put up with these cuts to services. So really incredible fight back going on there. Basically, as a result of what already the fight back that they've been putting up, the city council next week will be putting forward a motion to extend a one-time grant to give them enough money to operate for one extra month. So they've already bought themselves some time. There's been a lot of flip-flopping on this, but we can tell you it seems pretty set in stone that the 60 Richmond drop-in will continue to function as is until the end of June, at which time these drastic cuts are going to come down on it. But there's going to be lots of time to talk about what to do and what to plan in response to that at tomorrow's meeting. But there's also, of course, a lot of other stuff going on in the East End. At the corner of Queen and Sherbourne, there stands a building which basically, in my mind, stands as a symbol for everything that is inhuman and disgusting and shameful about the City of Toronto's social services. And that place is the Maxwell Megan Centre, operated by the Salvation Army. When we talk about the Maxwell Megan Centre, we're talking about a place that takes the people... It takes people who are most vulnerable in our society and isolates those who are most vulnerable within that vulnerable population, those who are receiving no assistance whatsoever, and denies them the $26 that they are encouraged or that they are eligible for. The situation is that people are eligible for personal needs allowance. It's $26 that's given to people on a weekly basis. And what's actually going on is that the Maxwell Megan Center is eliminating the is preventing people from getting the money. If you're late, if you have a doctor's appointment, if you go to work for a temp agency, if you for any reason can't be there, you don't get the money. Point blank, you don't get it. In fact, we've gone to Hostel Services and had the head of Hostel Services tell Maxwell Megan, straight up, give people this money. They are eligible for this money. They're entitled to this money. And Maxwell Megan has still refused. We're talking about a place, when we talk about Maxwell Megan, where if we go there and raise these concerns to the executive director, we get residents who stay there threatened for working with us. We have doors slammed in our face, and we have arrogant replies to very, very legitimate concerns. And yet, if this place isn't bad enough, if a place where people live with severe infections because of the bed bugs are so bad, if this isn't inhuman enough, we now have a situation where at Maxwell Megan, they also have a separate operating facility where people can pay for a bed. And basically, up until now, for the past several years, the thing has been you pay $7 a night, and for that $7, you get a bed. If you stay in the free beds, you're going to get served breakfast in the morning. If you stay in the paid beds, you get no breakfast. It's the exact same situation as being in one of the free beds. The only thing that you get differently is that you don't have a bed check. You don't have someone come tuck you in at 11 at night and say, lights out, boys. So there is a huge advantage in being able to come in later and having that little dignity, that freedom to stay out and choose when you want to go to bed as an adult. So by all means, it is a significant privilege that is granted. It's shocking to me that we even have to consider it a privilege, but that speaks largely to the way that people are treated and warehoused at Maxwell Megan. But anyways, what's actually going on now is, with only 2 weeks' notice, we've been approached by people who are paying this $7 and told, with 2 weeks' notice, they've been told that will jump to $10 a night. Now, basically, you say, well, you know, it's $10, it's all, you know, what's the difference? The difference is the difference in a 30-day month between paying $210 a month and paying $300 a month. The difference is, in fact, a 43% increase in the rent that these people are paying. And this is not a particularly transient group of people. With the people that we are working with have been living there for upwards, one of the gentlemen has been staying there for 6 months. One of the gentlemen we're working with has been staying there for 7 years. This is not a situation where people are fly by night, 10 bucks here and then off somewhere else. This is a situation where people are paying 10 bucks every night. These people are legitimate tenants and are not being given even the minor protection that is afforded tenants under the Tenant Protection Act. OCAP has taken up this fight with a vengeance. We want to talk about it a lot more tomorrow. But basically, I'm going to let you guys in. This is basically hot off the presses. We're going to, I'm just going to, before we take a break, let you guys know that what's going on is we're going to see a big, big, big fight about this. And we are looking to take Maxwell Megan to task. This rent increase is set to take effect on May 1st, May Day. Well, they picked the wrong day to start fucking with people. We're going to start fighting back on May Day as well, beginning at 6:30 a.m. when these gentlemen get kicked out of their beds, get kicked out of their $7 beds for the last time, and begin to face a day of having to cough up 10 bucks. We're going to be serving breakfast in front of the Maxwell Megan Center at Moss Park on May Day, beginning at 6:30 a.m. And when it gets close time to the community services meeting at City Hall, we're going to take people, we're going to march down to City Hall, we're going to go into the community services meeting, and we're going to let them know what we think about these attacks. We're going to ask them where they want these people to sleep. We're going to demand that this price increase be rescinded. We're going to demand that 60 Richmond be kept open and functioning as it is. And we're going to demand that they back off the open door and stop making noise about shutting that down. May 1st, we go to City Council. We're going to eat breakfast, get people fired up, and we're going to head down there. And on that note, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
From the Sounds of Africa crew, inviting one and all to the South African Day celebration, Sunday, April 27th, starting at noon, with live performances, cultural shows, food, drinks, and a lot more. Taking place at Mayor Lanceman Square, Young Street, north of Shepherd, south of Finch. It's a family event brought to you by the South African community and CKLN 88.1 FM.
With the help of people like you, teams of Israelis and Palestinians are working together to rebuild demolished homes. In the past 2 years, more than 3,000 Palestinian families have lost their homes to make way for Israeli settlements, roads, and walls. Working side by side, these Israelis and Palestinians are providing shelter and courageously building a bridge to peace. You can help. To support the Rebuilding Homes campaign, visit rebuildinghomes.org or call 415-820-3204. Salam, salam.
And we're back once again on OCAP Radio. And we were talking before the break about Maxwell Megan Center and their despicable behavior. I believe on the last episode, if you will, of OCAP Radio, I talked a little bit about what was coming down with personal needs allowance. I basically explained the situation before the break. But I also want to let people know that it seems like with personal needs allowance, victory is in sight, question mark. I think we're actually going to see some movement. Basically, the situation is, in the past few months, we've been bringing case after case to Maxwell Megan. We've been bringing them to hostel services around people who, for various reasons, have missed their weekly PNA distribution time at Maxwell Megan and have then been denied the money for the week. Hostel services has been, in general, actually, for a change, quite supportive. They actually have basically taken our side against Maxwell Megan and have been trying to enforce payment. However, the way that PNA distribution is legislated, if you will, basically leaves open season for the shelters to do whatever they want. In general, the shelters across Toronto, and this is generally speaking, provide a basic level of dignity and recognize that it's not really that big a deal to ensure that these people get $26 a week. But at Maxwell Megan, they have taken a hard line, and they seem to feel that it's too much trouble for them. So we've been fighting them tooth and nail, and basically, it seems now that Hostel Services is actually going to bring down changes in the system of PNA distribution that would effectively change the way that the system is structured, so that there would be rules, there would be things that shelters were required to do, and there would be penalties for not doing them. So we're going to keep you posted on that, but it seems like there could be victory in the works around personal needs allowance, something that is well deserved for people who have basically the situation is, when I say it's well deserved for people have been fighting against this with OCAP's help, but what they've faced in return is threats to be kicked out. People have basically been told, you know, it started out with people being told, you know, don't go to OCAP, don't go to OCAP around this. We'll just give you the money to shut you up. And then Maxwell Megan seemed to take a bit of a harder line, and the center actually began threatening residents with being kicked out point blank for trying to get the money that they were entitled to. So quite despicable. But hopefully we're going to see some changes coming down around that. I just want to flag a couple things. You know, one of the things that OCAP does that often gets lost in the mix is it's ongoing casework, and there's quite an enormous amount of casework that's going on right now that I really think we need to begin talking about more on the show. And to that end, I'm bringing, hopefully next week, we're going to have a show that's mostly, primarily focused around the casework that OCAP does. And for OCAP Radio fans, folks should know the intro to the show, that voice, that deep, gruff voice, is the voice that you will more often than not get when you call the OCAP office. And if you have tenant issues, particularly if you have to go to the tribunal to fight, that's the voice that's going to be fighting back for you. It's the voice of Mike Coward, who was formerly the host of this program here on CKLN. And I believe we're going to have Mike on the show next week, I'm hoping. So I shouldn't even say that. I don't even think I've talked to Mike about this, but hopefully we're going to have Mike on to talk about the ongoing casework of OCAP. So people should definitely tune in. Also, I want to flag for people that the trial of John, Gaetan, and Stefan is still ongoing. The defense is in full swing. John is off the stand. We've seen numerous witnesses, including OCAP's own Sarah Vance, York University professor and OCAP ally David McNally, CUPE's Kelly O'Sullivan, Kathy Crow from Toronto Disaster Relief Committee, have been some of the witnesses so far from the defense. presenting their version of events on June 15th. And it really is a refreshing breath of fresh air for that court after having cop after cop after cop giving their version of events. So, yeah, I really, really encourage everyone. It really is getting down to the crunch time at this trial. And seriously, folks, if you are a supporter of the work that OCAP does, it is time to come out and show the support, because these guys have been on trial now for upwards of 3 months, and they really do appreciate. And just to let you guys go with one final reminder that tomorrow at 349 Ontario Street, the Central House at Central Neighborhood House, a public meeting to talk about the defense of the East End community, to talk about fighting back against the shit that's coming down the pipes in that neighborhood from noon until 3 p.m. I encourage everyone to come out. It's going to be hopefully really powerful. And also on May 1st, beginning at 6:30 a.m. in Moss Park, corner of Queen and Sherbourne, with breakfast, we'll go to City Council for 9:30 for the Community Neighborhood Services Committee to let them know about the things that they're bringing down the pipe and exactly what we think about it. Folks, that's all the time we have for another edition of OCAP Radio, but I encourage everyone to come out tomorrow, come out all week at the trial, 361 University, and I will talk to you all next Friday night on OCAP Radio.
There is suffering in the streets, our leader.